So okay. That one needs to go on as well.
Ah, this is also set. So this just needs to be pressed.
Just press number 5.
Have you gone now yet?
Okay.
Start.
Good morning, Rabbi Isai. Our limud every day is as a schus for the refuah shalema of Yosef Dov ben Chayla b'soich shalachayli Yisrael b'korev. Amen. So we continue our discussion about Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas. We've spoken about the burning of the Talmud in 1242 in Paris. We spoke about the burning of the Rambam in 1232 in Paris. And today we move on 400 years approximately to the Tosis Yontov in Prague. The Tosis Yontov was the Rav in Prague. Many of you may have been to the cave of the Tosis Yontov. He's buried in Krakow, in Kruka, in the Ramos Beis HaChaim at the back, behind the Ramos Shul. So but at that time, he was the Rav in Prague. And there was what was known as the 30 Years' War. If you ever heard about the 30 Years' War when you were learning medieval history, it was basically a civil war within Europe. And it encompassed many, the Austro-Hungarian Empire, the Swedes, the Danish, everybody got involved, and this battle went on for a long, long time, until eventually the Treaty of Prague settled the Machlokes. Now, King Ferdinand, who was the emperor of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, he needed to finance this war, because he'd been fighting this war against all the other countries, like in Bereshis, the Arbo Melochim Esachamisho, you know, the king, a number of countries fighting on other countries. It was like a civil war within Europe. I don't know the exact details, but it went on for 30 years, and I don't know whether or not anybody really gained out of it. Apparently the French came out quite well from it. But in any event, he needed to finance this war, and he levied the 30 Years' War, and he levied a tax around 1627 on the community of Prague, of 40,000 golden thalers. They had to come up, which was apparently a massive amount of money, huge amount of money, and it fell to the committee of the Kehilla and the Rav to decide who was going to pay the tax and how. How was it going to be paid? It had to be divided out. And the Rav, together with the Kehilla, decided that the best thing would be that the poor people pay very little and the rich people pay a lot. And therefore the bulk of the obligation to pay these 40,000 ducats fell on the wealthy merchants. They didn't leave Prague. They were very unhappy about it. So first they appealed. They appealed, and the Kehilla and the Rav sat down together, and they were overruled. And then they decided that the way to sort this out for them was to get rid of the rabbi. If they could get rid of the rabbi, right? So they mustered the rabbi to the Christians, that he was a heretic, and that he was speaking against the Christian, right? We're coming back to, you know, a similar situation as in 1232 that we spoke about. They mustered and the rabbi was put on trial, right? The Rabbi Yontov Lipman Heller, the Rav of Prague, was put on trial, the Tosis Yontov, and eventually, he defended himself absolutely amazingly and beautifully, and Athal became. The decision was that he was sentenced to be put to death. He was sentenced to be.
Who put him on trial?
The church put him on trial. Heresy. The church put him on trial for spreading anti-Christian teachings. That was the accusation. Okay, and eventually, I suppose it was. I don't know exactly how the trial went, but it was probably a foregone conclusion. But in any event, he was sentenced to death. After that, there was a period of negotiation with the King Ferdinand, and in particular, there was one Jewish nobleman who had a lot of influence at court, and eventually, the sentence of death was commuted to a fine of 12,000 golden thalers, plus all his sforim and his manuscripts were to be burnt, plus he wasn't allowed to function as a rabbi within the empire, and that was a permanent life ban. And it took him about 2 years of fundraising to pay off the debt, to pay off the fund. And then in 1631, he left Prague. He had to move out of the empire because he could not function as a rabbi in Prague. He was mitzvah to his einiklach, to his family, to his descendants, that, again, his sforim were all burnt, and he was exiled, and he nearly was put to death. Therefore, he told them to commemorate this. This is a family hella, descendants of Yontov Lipman hella, the Toisus Yontov. I think that on the Friday, Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas, when we commemorate the burning of the Talmud, when we commemorate the things that happened in Paris 400 years earlier, yeah, that he said that on that day as well, the Heller family should also commemorate the terrible things that happened to him, plus also the Yeshua, that actually he was not, although he was sentenced to death, that was commuted in the end to a fine and to exile. So this is our second connection for Shabbos, for Erev Shabbos this week. And tomorrow we have a third connection from Izmir in Turkey.
We have to do an announcement. Has anybody got a poster?
On the table there,
all the
boxes.
He was here.
He had to go.
I've got one.
He said it's
okay. I've got one. Okay.
Torreway, Northwest London. Come and help me, Rabbi Isai. Wednesday, the 2nd of July, I think. Yeah, it is the 2nd of July. Right, and it is the of
Hey.
Okay, so today's Hey Tammuz. Rabbi Binyamin Mark Schlitter. It's Vov actually. Okay, Hey just became Vov. Right, so Vov Tammuz, Tov Shein Pei Hey. Yeah, Rabbi Binyamin Mark Schlitter, Uvachukoi Seim Loi Selechu. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored by Family Frankel, Lichwedan Simchas Anesuim of Binyamin Frankel with Fege Kahan. The chasna will be b'shor tov u'maslachas today. And also as a schus for all the soldiers who are fighting and those who are injured, they should all have a refuah shleima, and they should come home b'kor of mamash, they should come home safely to their homes.
Amen.
Sorry.
Yeah, I know that it's Tavov today because it's my b'chor's birthday today. It's Tavov time. So the topic, as mentioned, is B'chukas Seichem Lo Yishaleichu. It was something I wanted to talk about, as I think it's a topic that's not much discussed. And it's Psukim in the Torah, but it's not very well known from a halachic angle. And of course, like everything, there are gedorim to the halacha. And the purpose today, I don't know if we'll manage to finish, but at least to discuss the Issa, it's a lav obviously, as regards clothing. And obviously throughout history it's actually been something that's very, very relevant. Obviously throughout history you didn't have dressed in many places in a very unique way, in a distinct way from the goyim. Nowadays there are people, obviously there's still some Chalokim of Klal Yisrael that wear very distinct and very, very obvious levush that makes it very clear that they're Jewish, and then there's other Chalokim of Klal Yisrael who we wear, you know, short jackets and clothes no different from the goyim. So I want to discuss a little bit this topic. We'll see how far we get today. So this Issa, it's one of the Taryak mitzvahs. Is mentioned three times in the Chumash. It's mentioned once, mentioned once in Parshas Achrimos. It's mentioned once in Parsha in Parshas Achrimos. It says, "Ubuchukaseichem lo yiseleichu." In Parshas Kedoshim, is lo yiseleichu buchukas hagoy. And in Parshas Re'ei, it says, "Isham lechom pen tinakesh achareihem," which the Rambam brings these three psukim, the Rambam says in the halachas way, in the perek where he discusses these halachas, he brings as his akdoma, he says there's three psukim in the Torah, and the inyun of these three psukim is that we are supposed to be unique and distinct in various different ways from the umos ha'olam. So there's actually very few gemaras about this. As far as I'm aware, so far at least I've discovered there are two Gemaras where the Gemara brings the pasuk of B'chukaseichem lo yiseleichu. Derech Agav, the Gemara is asking Akashas. There's one Gemara in the Beit Zohar, I think, which is just learned in Daf Yomi, which is Daf Yud Aleph. There's another Gemara in Sanhedrin, which is also not learned so not so long ago, and Daf Nun Beis and Mabeis. And we'll come back to those two Gemaras. But as far as I'm aware, there are two Gemaras where the Gemara asks Akasha, how can we do X, Y, Z? What happened to B'chukaseichem lo yiseleichu? But there's no Gemara which actually delineates and lays out exactly what the Issa is. So if you look at Rashi and Chumash, Rashi here in Parshas Achrimos, Rashi says, Rashi comes to explain, it says, so Rashi says, what does this come to include? So Rashi brings from the Torah's Kohenim. And the Torah's Kohenim says a few different things. It says, Eile nimusoi shalehen, devorim hachokukim lachem, Kugoin tatiois v'itstadiois. So the first example of Chukos HaGoy that he mentions is going to non-Jewish places of entertainment, it sounds like, right? Which is not, we're not going to discuss that today, maybe in a future year we'll discuss it, but that's the first example. Rabbi Meir Oimer, the second example that's given, Rabbi Meir says, Eilu darke emoivi shumanu chachomim. There's something called darke emoivi, which I think basically means different kinds of superstition. In the Gemara in Shabbos, and Daf Samach Zayin, there's a whole Gemara there, there's a Mishnah there, there's a Mishnah that talks about going out on Shabbos with different things in your items on you, and whether or not there's a problem of Hutzah. There's no problem of Hutzah, and the Gemara says there are certain things which, not just Shabbos, is also to carry with you, but even during a week, it's also Mushum Darki Emori. And what are those things? Those things are wearing things that are just wearing, I think, the tooth of a fox, is one example. The different examples the Gemara gives of...
I don't hear you. What are the different things?
They are superstitious things. For example, I think one example the Gemara says is, there's ridiculous things I mentioned there that they used to do. Carrying the tooth of a fox around with you as some kind of shmira or something or other. There's different... The Gemara lists all different kinds of behaviours that... The Gemara says there's no rationale to them, there's no logic to them, and they don't have any known medicinal benefit. If it's Mishum Refuah, Gemara says if there's a clear connection, if you do X, Y, Z, then this brings a Refuah, so then there's no problem of Darkei Emori. But things that are completely rational, B'li Tam, these are called Darkei Emori, and that, Rabbi Meir says, that's included in B'chukaseichem lo yiseleichu. So that's the second thing Rashi mentions. And the third thing, Rashi doesn't mention anymore. So if you look actually in the Torah's coin, we'll just go straight to the Rambam. There are actually a few other things that the Rashi doesn't bring that are brought in the Torah's coin. The Rambam, this is obviously in Hilchos Avodah Zorah, Perek Yud Aleph. So the Rambam says, "Ein holchem b'chukas hagoyim v'lo medamin lehem lo b'malbush v'lo b'seya kiyotze behem." So the Rambam actually doesn't mention this whole business about chukas hagoyim. If you look in the Torah's Kohenim, then the Torah's Kohenim brings this opinion of Rabbi Meir that Darkei Emori is bechalal chukas hagoyim lo yiseleichu, and then the Torah's Kohenim goes on to list, resembling them in Malbush and also in hairstyle, right? And that's what the Rambam says. I think the Kesser Mishnah says that seems to be the Makar of the Rambam is from the Torah's Kohenim, from the Sifra. Like I said, there's no Gemara. So it's quite unusual that there's no Gemara over here laying out these Isurim. So the Gemara says, the Rambam says, Mazi shridam lehem eliye Yisrael moved on mehen v'yadua b'mavushoy b'sham ma'asov. So the Torah is coming to tell us, to warn us, that we should not make ourselves similar to them in the way, we shouldn't copy them in the way that they dress. That Yisrael should be moved on mehen v'yadua b'mavushoy, he should be recognizable in his way of dress, u'b'sham ma'asov, which is very interesting. Right? Very interesting. In the same way, Ayid shouldn't be thinking the same way that a Goy thinks, right? A Goy thinks one way about the world, has his attitude and his and his approach to Olam Hazeh. And Klal Yisrael, we have our own approach, our own attitude, and our own way of life, and Hishkofas HaTorah changes our whole attitude and approach to our whole lives. So in the same way that we are in our pnimius and our approach to life and our mindset, we're completely different from the Ummah HaOlam, so too, we are supposed to be different from them in the way that we dress. And then the Rambam goes on to list a number of different things. He says, for example, Lo yibash malbush hamayuchad lehem, Lo yigadal tzitzis, can't grow like your hair long, Lo yigalech min hatzdadin, you cannot shave with the side of your head and leave like a big hair in the middle. And the Rambam goes on. So the question is, how do we apply this practically l'halacha? Because the simple reading of the Rambam is quite stark when you start reading the Rambam. It sounds like the Rambam is saying that we have to be very careful to make sure that when you're walking along the street, you can't tell the difference. Sorry, to make sure that you can tell, very clearly tell, just from the way that a person's dressing, you can tell if he's a Yisrael or he's a Goy.
If we look ridiculous, they'll laugh at us.
They do in any case.
No one's saying you have to look ridiculous. No one's saying you have to look ridiculous.
Why should a religious Jew look ridiculous and cause...
Who's saying you have to look ridiculous?
You would look ridiculous.
Why?
If you wore your jacket back to front, or you wore your...
No. No one's suggesting... No. Oh. We're talking about the style of clothing.
How different can you be?
You can wear a long garment, for example. I don't know any goyim who wear a long garment. I'm not saying you should go out and buy them. I'm not trying to sell you a Bekachot. But I'm saying there are plenty of ways... There are plenty of nations all throughout the world. If you go around the world, they're different cultures.
In the Congo, and,
different cultures have different manners of dress. And perhaps when we learn this Rambam, we should come away from this Rambam, and we should say we have to be very careful to make sure that the place that we are living in now, we do not in any way resemble the way that the Goyim are dressed. So,
that's absurd.
Don't worry, when you leave this room, you'll still be dressed the same way when you came in. Don't go home. You have to go home and change your wardrobe, don't worry. So, the Shulchan Aruch, the Lot Yisroch has actually brought in Shulchan Aruch, very interesting in Siman Kuf Ayin Ches. I always try to find, it's very, very interesting, if you look carefully, you'll often be able to find a link between the simon that's given in Shulchan Aruch and the toichin and the content of that particular simon. Many times, if you look carefully, think about it, often not so difficult to find one. So in this particular instance, the simon is Kuf Ayin Ches. Obviously, Ayin Ches is Rashi Tevis Chukas Akum. So these halachos are brought in simon Kuf Ayin Ches. And the Mechaber brings down the Loshon Rambam. But don't worry, he then brings the Ramah, his Magia, on the Shulchan Aruch, and he brings down the Tshuva of the Marik. Now, the Marik here is the big name. If you want to know who's the big name here on this first Seif in Shulchan Aruch, when we're discussing this halacha of Malbush, it's the Marik. There's a Tshuva from the Marik. The Marik was asked to Shaila. He was asked, is it permitted in his time, which was quite a long time ago, obviously in the times of after the Beis Yosef, I think it was. Nonetheless, I think it's been probably a relevant question even up until fairly recent times, that a chochem, or I think you bring the similar example of a doctor, would wear a very unique way of dress. You'd be able to tell who is a doctor, who is a chochem. You would look at this person, and you would see, just by looking, you wouldn't have to ask him for his business card, his credentials. You would know just by looking at him that he is a chacham, he is a doctor. Because that was the way the chachamim of that time, and that was the way that the doctors of that time...
Cape.
That they... A cape. Right. So that was the way that they dressed. So the shayla that he was asked was, this is not something that a regular Israeli wear, and it's something clearly that the goyim have instituted for whatever reason. The question is, are we allowed, is a person who is a chacham or a doctor, are they allowed to wear the same malbush or not? And that was the question that the Marik was asked. And the Marik is a very nice tshuva, Simon Peches, Shoresh Peches. And he goes to a length and he discusses the sugya of Malbush vis-a-vis Chukas Hagoy. And this is really the big Maimokim in the sugya. And he says, basically comes out with some very, very nice Hagdor. He says, first of all, he says there's only an Issa of Chukas Hagoy, number one, if it's something that doesn't have any reason, like we said before, like Rashi brings from the Torah Koinim, B'Shem Ebi Meir, and that's enumerated in the Gemara and Shabbos, all these different times of thing. If something which is B'li Choyk V'Tam, you can't do it. It's a superstition, whatever it might be, something without any logic or rationale, that is a problem of Chukas Hagoy. The second thing is you cannot wear a malbush of goyim when that malbush has a connection either to avodah zorah, or we would refrain from wearing it because it's an immodest way of dress. It's a priestistic way of dressing. It's something that Yisrael who at tsanuim. That there's an inin of tsnius, we have an inin of tsnius. So if the particular malbush that the goyim are wearing are something which is clearly immodest, that has something not only, obviously, the problem, the fact that a person is wearing something that's immodest, but that's what the Torah is being mazir as. Do not make yourselves comparable to the goyim, to the Moshe Olam. Do not dress like the Moshe Olam. When dressing like them is going to cause you to dress either way, which has some kind of shemetz of avodah zorah, some kind of shaychus of avodah zorah. So I guess you know any kind of priestly, any kind of malbush that has a shaychus to their avodah zorah, any kind of avodah zorah, or something which is inherently immodest, which is shaych obviously to noshim, but also to anoshim as well. And he adds something which has Mishum Gaiva as well, he also says. Anything which is a very haughty and a very immodest, not just immodest in the first way of thinking about it, but even immodest because it's a gaivatic, it's an arrogant manner of dress.
Anything similar what they do.
Well, it's not anything similar to it. Only if what they do.
If you're going with red strings, they shouldn't go the same.
Well, red strings is probably superstition. It's not Gaiva. It's not lacking its sneers. But any kind of malbush, which is immodest or arrogant, I'm sure you can think, we don't want to enumerate, but I'm sure you can think, oh, there are different parts of the world, there are different manners of dress, and it's clearly a very gaivatic way of dressing. If a person's wearing that malbush, and he looks, you know, it looks arrogant in a certain way, which is not the Derech of Yisrael, that is what the Torah is telling us to avoid. That's number one. Certainly for Noshim, it's very easy to think. There are many types of clothing for Noshim, which, aside from the inherent lack of tznius, could well be, the Poskim say, and Cholim say, that aside from the inherent lack of modesty in it, that being problematic, but there's also a problem in the fact that if you're wearing it, that's the fashion, that's the style, by the Umas Oilam, that's a problem. The Marek is Mechadish another point, which is very interesting. He says it's only osa if you're doing it because you want to be like the Umas HaOlam. I want to be like them. And he brings from the Torah's Koinim that it seems to be clear in the Torah's Koinim that's the case. In other words, even if it's something which should be osa, but if I'm doing it for some other reason, I have some other motive which has got nothing to do with wanting to be like the Umas HaOlam, then it's allowed. So basically the Marek, coming back to the shayla that he was asked, so he says, therefore there's no problem at all to wear this chochem's outfit. If a person's a chochem, even though it's an outfit that the chochem umos ha'olam are wearing. But nonetheless, number one, he said, these garments that they're wearing, there's no problem of gaiva or lack of tznius. It's something which they wear. It's something clearly identifies. It's something clearly that they are doing. But nonetheless, when they're doing it. Why are they doing it? Because they want to be recognized like a chacham. They're doing mishum kovod, mishum mamun, right? You can charge more money if you're wearing this particular malbush. They're not doing it for because it's lacking in modesty. Or mishum avodah zarah, that's number one. And number two, when I wear, if a Yisrael comes to wear it, the reason why he's wearing it is for the same reason. It's for that hanah. He's not doing it because he wants to look like a goy, because he wants to blend in with the umos ha'olam. He's not doing it because he wants to blend in. He's doing it because he wants the same benefit that the goy want from it. Whatever reason why that particular chacham wants to wear this malbush, so he should be recognized as a chacham. So too, a Yisrael who wants to wear it is also wearing it for the same reason. So comes out that the Marik finishes off that it's mutter. And comes out a very fascinating thing, and it's perhaps muduyuk in the psukim a little bit, that essentially the issa of lois aleichu b'chukzikam lois aleichu is only when there's got some shaykhas to either avodah zarah or a lack of modesty. That's the basic yisoy, that's the basic kula of the marik. And the psukim also, when the context that the psukim are written, it's also in Parshas Achrimois and Parshas Kedoshim. It's also a context of Avodah Zorah and a context of Arayas. I found in the Perush Arayvit on the Teres Koinim, also when the Teres Koinim talks about, for example, hairstyles. So the Arayvit says, they used to grow their hair long. This Beloiris, as it's called in the Gemara, they used to grow their hair long in a certain way. And when it reached a certain length, they would shave it, they would cut off the hair l'shem Avodah Zorah. And they would make like a Yom Simcha. And I think that's part of the problem with the contemporary problem with the shaitals that come from, the shaitel hair that comes from India. It's not something I know a lot about, but I believe that the shovish of the problem over there is that the people who are growing their hair long for these shaitals are growing it the shame of Avodah Zorah, and then they go to their temple there, and then they shave it off in a whole ceremony. So the Ravid says that is, when we're talking about hairstyles, says the Ravid, we are talking about when a person is growing their hair l'shem Avodah Zorah. So if that's something that they are doing l'shem Avodah Zorah, so obviously Yisrael shouldn't, well, not even if Yisrael's not doing it themselves l'shem Avodah Zorah, but since that is something that the Goyim are doing l'shem Avodah Zorah, a Yisrael certainly cannot do it, even if his intention is not l'shem Avodah, even if he's just doing it for the style and the fashion. But anything that the Goyim are doing which has no shaychus to Avodah Zorah, or it's not lacking in any way in modesty, there should be no problem for us to dress and to do, we have the same hairstyles or have the same clothing as them. The Ran also in Avodah Zorah says a similar thing, and I'll explain where the Ran's coming from. For those who have just learnt Daf Yomi, so the Mishnah there says that you are not allowed to do business with a goy on a day when they have, when the melech died, the melech of the Umos Olam died, and they were soiref, they made a sreifa of the kelim of the melech. And there's a machlokes there in the Gemara, and the Gemara says, the Gemara discusses, are we allowed to do the same thing? Are we allowed to take the kelim, let's say, of a dead, of a king who's passed on, and to be sorif those, and sorif and burn the kelim of the melech, of the Jewish king. So what's the problem? Says the Gemara, it could be a problem because this is something the Umos Ha'olam do. Now, if it's something the Umos Ha'olam do, then potentially it's a problem. The Gemara says, no, there's no problem. Because the reason why they do it is mishum, that's the maskolas of Gemara, is because there's a tam badova, there's a chashivus. It shows chashivus. We're taking the items of clothing of the king, his throne, etc., and we're destroying them. By destroying them, we are showing that nobody else is fitting to use the kelim of the now deceased king. So therefore, the Gemara seems to say that therefore there's no problem of chukasecham lo selechu. In other words, the goyim themselves, when they're doing it, it seems to be the Gemara saying, when the goyim themselves do it, they're not doing it in the shame of Avodah Zorah because they're burning it and they have some kind of of a pagan intent when they burn these kelim. Nothing to do with nothing pagan and so on. It's a way of showing we've lost a melech who's got chashivas. So the Ram there in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Aleph, says, well, there's no problem. This is so he says, there's no problem of chukas hagoyim, except when there's a shemetz of Avodah Zarah. Then we are not allowed to do that thing that they are doing. Although obviously it's got nothing to do with Malbush in this instance, right? We've been discussing 10-hour clothing. There the Gemara is not talking about clothing, it's talking about a ceremony that they did. But the Gemara is worried. How can we do a similar ceremony? This ceremony, it's something that the Goyim do. We're not going to do it by the Shem of the Zorah, but it's something that they do. And therefore we should refrain from doing it because of the Chukasei Gam Lois Aleichu. So the Gemara, no, because even they themselves are doing it Meshum Hashivas. So we too can also do it for that reason. So it sounds like the Gemara is saying that whenever there is a logic, a rationale, which takes it away from being Shaykh Tavid Zora, there's no problem with Chukasei Gam Lois Aleichu. And that's really how the Ramah paskins. The Ramah actually brings the Marik and he brings the Ran. But just to make sure, we're running out of time, as I thought we would do. So, to make sure, we haven't got to the Cholkim, because there are Cholkim. Maybe that has to do with in part two. But let's make sure that we've got the Halacha clear, at least as far as the Mechaber and the Ramah are concerned. So like we said, the Mechaber says, the Mechaber brings the Loshon of the Rambam, and he says, in Cholkim b'chukas ha'tikuchavim, you cannot be medame lehem, you cannot wear a malbush hamuyuchad lehem, which is a very interesting loshen. We'll carry on. The loy god sits is roishoy, you shouldn't grow your hair like them, etc. Comes the remor, ela yimuvdil mehem b'malbushov b'sham masov. Because there ain't also the medava shenagu boy obdikuchovim l'shem pritzus. Says the Ramah, you should know, you don't have to worry when it comes to your malbush about being transgressing the Issa of Chukasei Gam Lois Aleichu, unless it's something that they are wearing l'shem pritzus. Kegon shenagu lil boish mabushim abdumim, red clothes, red, it's a very, very arrogant and a very noticeable colour. V'hu malbush sorim ekadoyim elezeh malbushi ha-pritzus. It's a very immodest. Red is a colour. And we're not saying anything which is red. A yid shouldn't wear something that's red. The question is exactly which red. But a bright red is certainly not allowed. I don't know, a red car, but a red cloth is definitely not allowed. Oy b'davah shenagul aminag elochoik. Also, that's number one. Number two, something which is, doesn't have any time, or something which is superstition. So that's number two. But adava shenagula te'eles, anything which is a te'eles, kogon shadak and shakomi shoroife, anything which anyone who's a doctor has a particular malbush mumcha, v'yeshlo malbush muyuchad, shenikavoy shoroife, uman mutalev shoy. If you're a doctor, you're allowed to wear doctor's clothing. Because when it's nothing, even the goyim when they're wearing it, they're not wearing it mishum pritzis, they just want to be seen as being a doctor. So I'm as Israel, I'm allowed to wear exactly the same clothing, even though I look exactly like a non-Jew. That's not a problem. In other words, the bottom line is, Yisrael, according to the way the Ramah seems to be passing, there's no problem for Israel to wear the same clothes as a non-Jew. Yisrael is allowed to wear a suit, a mechubadik suit, the person Yisrael is allowed to wear these clothes. Because even the goyim, when they wear these clothes, they're not wearing them l'shem pritzus or l'shem avodah zarah. They are wearing it because it's a nice way of dress. So we also are allowed to dress the same way. The problem is, really, at the end of the day, is that the Mechaber didn't bring the Marik, and the Mechaber, Shem Rambam, doesn't sound quite authentically like that. And Metz Hashem will have a part two, and we'll discuss more, that there are those who argue, the Vilna Gaon argues, on the Ramah, doesn't argue completely, but the Vilna Gaon argues on the Ramah. You have to show him the part two still to go.
Thank you. when he's doing his work. And you said the doctor.